Kevin Smith, what's
yes,
up?
Yes, we can't stay on the phone with Scorch when the likes of Kevin Smith.
Now we got a real star calling us.
A real star finally calling us. Kevin, how you doing, man?
Happy fucking anniversary.
Thank you, sir.
How long?
2 years now.
Nice.
It's 2 years
at XM. Hey, Kevin, Ann was kissing your ass yesterday.
Who was?
Ann, he says you're doing great job with the movie review.
I see they bring you back on
back for a second time. Yeah.
Ebert and Roper, and I love the I love your reviews, man. Not even just kissing your ass because you're Kevin Smith, but just it's such a good job reviewing because you're not a reviewer, but you're educated in filmmaking and you're a fan of films, but you're not as jaded as reviewers. So
that's the thing that you figure out pretty quickly. It's like it's you know I, like I watched I guess 4 or 5 movies.
Yep.
And I didn't. There was nothing I disliked. Like there was
yeah.
merit in everything I saw. And like you know you. It's more interesting, of course, and they like it more if you don't, the audience, if you don't like the movies. But, like,
right.
you know, I saw 2 Ashton Kutcher movies, and I wasn't
yeah.
prepared to hate them. But, you know, the cartoon was cute, and The Guardian I thought was interesting.
That's what it was. You gave an honest assessment, you know. It's like, you know, if you go into this movie expecting something huge and Oscar-winning,
right.
You're going to be disappointed. I think if you go in, and this is what you said, you know, you get what you expect. You're going to have a good time with it.
I just sat there going, like, this is the movie that my old man would have loved.
Yeah.
Like my
yeah.
It was exactly the type of picture that my fucking father would have been like, that was a good movie and shit.
Hey, do you see The Departed yet?
I did.
What did you
so
think of it?
So fucking good.
Yeah, he gave it,
oh,
like,
oh, my God. It's
raves.
It's one of those movies that as soon as you're done watching it, if it wasn't a press screening, like if I'd seen it in public form, I'd immediately gone out paid to see it again.
Really?
Like you want to own it on DVD because you just want to watch it as often as you want. You want to put it in a DVD player and go to sleep watching it. It is fucking fantastic.
Yes, an enthusiastic thumbs up, I believe
yeah,
you gave that one.
They try to figure out adjectives to throw in front of those
yeah.
thumbs all the time. You know what's really weird, though, is they actually photograph your fucking thumb for that show. Like you know,
that's your thumb.
That's my thumb. The first time when it says my name, they put my thumb up there. They said we have to photograph your thumb. I was like, why is that really necessary? Thumb's a thumb. And they're like, we have to do it for anybody who sits in. Like the week after, there's a guy named John Ridley who's going to be sitting in the guest chair. And
yeah,
he's a black dude. So they're like, we obviously have to photograph
oh.
his thumb.
Oh yeah, never thought of it that way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Might have to
make sure it's opposable.
Yeah,
you're an ass, Jimmy. I was, yeah.
Awesome. I said, can't we photograph my thumb in my ass? And they said, we don't do that kind of thing.
We can't do that.
I was,
I'm a little a surprise though that they actually put in the paper 2 thumbs up, and then it'll say Ebert and Roper, the Ebert and Roper show, 2 thumbs up. When actually Ebert hasn't reviewed the movie.
Yeah, that is. It's. I mean, I guess it's like it's on his show. So
right.
I guess the language is, you know, you skirt around it. Because what does it mean if they're like, 2 thumbs up, Kevin Smith and Richard Roper?
Well, you know, I'd put some credence in that more than I would for the Jackass review, 2 thumbs up, Fred Willard and Roper. You know, that's kind of, I found that a little odd.
They said that Fred, you know, when they taped the Fred show, that Fred was very chatty. And they had like 3 hours of footage to cut down in 22 minutes.
Yeah, I could see they kind of got to cut a little bit out of that when you really want to go off on something.
It's a pretty interesting gig, though, in terms of like you wind up doing more review work than you thought. I always thought those dudes just sat there, said some shit about movies, and then
yeah.
fought. But really, you have to write a review. Because that's what you're reading off the teleprompter when they show all the clips.
Uh-huh.
And you have to write it within the space of 250 words, and it's difficult to write within like
wow.
a box, you know, in terms of trying to, you can't go above that, you can't be below
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and you might want to say more, and you don't get a chance to.
It's like being in school.
Did it give you a newfound, I hate saying newfound respect or anything for a reviewer, but did it change your opinion? Because I know you really didn't have a very good opinion of a lot of reviewers out there, a few, but
I like the reviewers that like me.
Yep, good for you.
but did it? You know, it just changes the perspective in a little bit, as much as like I was talking to Richard between takes, and he was, you know, I was like, dude, how could you not like The Guardian? Like, you know, it finds some merit in it. At least in as much as like the director is this dude, Andy Davis guy, who did The Fugitive,
right?
Which is like one of the best Chicago movies ever made. And there we are
sure.
in Chicago, and Richard's from Chicago originally, or from Illinois at least. so, you know, he was like, look, you, this is like the first one of that movie you've seen this year, maybe. He's like, I see every movie. So this is like the 15th variation on a theme that I've seen of this movie. So it's your first, it's my 15th. He's going, sometimes it's just, you can't stand it. You can call the beats out of a movie.
Wow.
It's really gonna happen. So you sit there going, yeah, I guess. If you're forced to watch everything, you know, and you start seeing like four or five, six of the same movie.
Yeah, kind of. I think it kind of makes you jaded, though, and might make you give a movie a worse review than it really should have.
Exactly. Like, you can't just sit there and be like, look, you know, it ain't for me, but it may be for somebody.
Yeah.
Well, I wish you would write for the Daily News instead of that fat cunt guy they have writing now, that David Bianculli, whatever the fuck
little,
his name
is. That little Jimmy Norton?
Yeah, hi, Kevin.
How are you, sir?
How you doing, buddy?
Obviously, agitated.
You know what I think about every once in a while? I laugh as you breaking down that fucking poem you wrote when you were in rehab. That was some of my favorite radio of all time.
I forgot about that. I forgot about that one, man.
So damn genius. So how did you guys celebrate your two-year anniversary?
Oh, you don't want to know.
Did XM send a cake? What did they do?
Our CBS show. Yeah, on our CBS show, we got to have the show come to a complete screeching halt while our two XM bosses walked in.
And you know how exciting that could be.
And it's always good to have, like, your bosses come in and talk about how great it's been the past 2 years, because they know how to do radio very well and know what the listeners want to hear. So that was like 2 hours we'll never get back.
Yeah, Kevin, just imagine, you know, the backers of one of your films decide they need to be in your film.
Right.
And sit there.
So now you have to make something out of horseshit.
Talk about you. And then we came over here and we heard there was going to be a surprise for us here. So, you know, whenever someone tells you there's going to be a surprise, you always overblow it in your head.
Yeah.
And what it is a new sign that goes behind us here in the studio. Which is like, great, thanks for the fucking surprise. And the food was great. They brought, not from XM or CBS, it was just a friend of the show. The restaurant, what's the name?
Rivoli's.
Yeah, Rivoli's over in Jersey, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful place. And they bring all this. And I choose a fucking day. Now, this got me really pissed off. And this is just a part of the whole vulturism of this business. Our agent, super agent, ghoul Dracula Bob Eatman. Ooh, how ghoulish is this? He's taking out insurance policies, life insurance, on me and Opie.
That's your anniversary gift?
Yeah. Happy 2 years. Sign on the line. So I had to make this appointment to have this ghoul doctor come over and take blood at my house today, so I couldn't eat all day. I didn't know that this food, there's king crab legs, lobster tails, filet mignon, a cake, all kinds of, like, the best shit you can imagine, and I can't have any. My stomach's growling here. I'm drinking fucking water, and I couldn't eat a thing.
It's your anniversary. Blow it. Just
but I said so. I was thinking that, but then the guy's already going to come over my house.
Right.
So then I got to sit there and try to explain to this idiot why he has to go away. Like,
yeah,
well,
then,
see,
then
there was...
You got somebody to play some video games with for an hour, you know, jump around on your MySpace account as he's over your house and whatnot. Like, it won't be a trip. Just be like, here, dude, let's play some first-person games together.
But the guy didn't even seem like that cool a guy. He actually called up yesterday and said, he was like, I guess, Indian or something. So he's like, could I have directions to your house? And I'm like, who in 2006 asked for directions anywhere? You have a nav system in your car. And if you don't have a nav system in your car, you have, like, Yahoo or MapQuest or something. Who fucking asks for directions anymore? what the hell are you, you know, you don't, last time I think I asked for directions was 1998.
Do you know, I just finished my third piece of ice cream
your
cake.
Your motherfucking,
my
I'm
stomach right now,
you.
I'm sitting regular, I can feel my stomach touching my cockhead.
He's got puppy belly.
There you go, nobody to blame but yourself. Pick up the fucking food and start, pick it up and start eating.
I agree,
pussy,
man.
Kevin, and you're right.
And we just had a ton of celebrities calling us all morning. It was unbelievable.
Celebrities? Kevin Smith.
Kevin is the highlight of this day. The fact that he called us.
Kevin Smith.
And there's nothing wrong with that. We were just hoping for some runner-ups.
When I was in Chicago, I saw that the virus was spreading. You guys had bus ads on the side.
Oh, right on, man.
Yeah, there's like bus ads and
many,
kiosk
many
things
bus
going
ads,
on.
Because
like,
I was walking
cool.
up and down Michigan and shopping, and I saw every bus that went by had you guys on the side of it.
That's cool.
That's really
did you guys
cool.
break in more markets since I've been there?
24. Right
yeah,
now.
We're in like 24 now. I don't even remember which ones. They usually hand us a sheet of paper that we ignore in the morning.
How long since you've been in? Like 2 months?
I came in Right before the flick. So, yeah, about 2 months.
Yeah. When's DVD?
DVD is 11/28. I'm probably going to come, if you guys will have me. I'll probably come in because I'm going to go out, promote the DVD a little bit.
You absolutely.
How did Clerks 2 do for you?
It did well. I mean, you know, thank God we only spent $5 million making it. Made, like, close to 25, so nice. Everyone's happy.
You know what? I guaranteed it's going to kill on DVD. Yeah. What do you got as far as extras?
There's a 90-minute documentary about the making of, which carries from, like, pre-production all the way forward.
And you know what the good thing about Kevin Smith movies? Like, any behind-the-scenes shit or documentary, commentary and stuff, it's not like just normal movies. You guys are fucked up. I've watched some of the commentary more times than I've watched the actual movie.
Yeah, it's we don't polish it up.
No, it's the documentary shit.
Not self-aggrandizing, kind of like backslapping. Like, we did a really good job.
I loved Clerks too. I gotta tell you, I saw School for Scoundrels recently.
How was it? I'm telling you, man, The Departed. The Departed is the
Yeah, that's the big one.
See it as soon as you can.
Who's the kid that directed that? He's a new up-and-comer.
Yeah, new guy.
I think he's a Jewish kid.
He's going to go far, that kid. Did you see Jackass 2?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
The second one?
How is it?
If you're into that, it's too goddamn funny.
Yeah.
I laugh. I don't know what it is about the face people make before they vomit that makes me fucking roar. And the just excrement humor and surprise, like punching a boxing glove coming out of a wall and hitting someone in the face when they don't expect it.
It's like watching Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It really is funny. I'm a little suspect of a couple of segments that I think might have been rigged.
I read on the internet that there were some digital enhancements as well. But.
Yeah, a couple of little things going on. But for the most part, when they're just really fucking with each other and putting each other in painful or disgusting situations, I find that shit so funny.
It's just, it's amazing that they built careers and an empire out of
that.
Doing the undoable. Doing shit that people would do for free on YouTube now.
Yeah,
Dudes, like, we're ahead of the curve.
Yeah, YouTube.
What's your favorite YouTube video?
Favorite YouTube video currently is the one, do you see the one of the kid getting smacked in the face with the car door?
Yeah, that one's fantastic.
The car, he's trying to knock some kid off a bike, and then they drive too close to a fucking parked car.
That's instant karma, man.
Oh, my God, it's nuts. And then, you get so fascinated, and, it's like a 30-second clip, but you get wrapped up in this dude's life where you're like, I got to know what happens, and you track down the info of what happened. And he didn't fucking die.
I know. I was amazed.
How do you get smacked in the face with the back of a car when you're moving at, like, easily 25, 30 miles per hour and you don't die? Like, busted up.
Fucking resilient kids.
Not only did he not die, he's fine.
Yeah,
like, totally fine. Like, it's not like he looks like Rocky Dennis from Mad.
Yeah.
How great was that when he was pulling pins out of the map? Fucking Ben blew him off. Just stupid with a fucking pinless map of Europe. Fucking greatest comedy moment ever.
YouTube is twisted because you start on one subject, the next thing you know, you're like on Magic Tricks Gone Bad.
Oh, that's the one I want to tell you about.
Like, how the hell did I get here? I just wanted to check out whatever video, and now I'm over here.
Kevin, you got to look up Harry Blackstone's debacle halftime show at the 1987 Orange Bowl.
Is it on YouTube?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's Harry Blackstone, and it's so cheesy, oldie-time magician act.
Right.
And every fucking trick he tries goes wrong because of just that he's outside. The wind fucks it up. But the best is this like square box comes up that you can kind of see through. It's got that two-way mirror thing going on.
Right.
And comes through the stage, and he's supposed to make this woman appear, and someone hits the light inside the box too soon, and you see the woman crawling up, trying to work her way up into the box. Harry Blackstone throws his body against the mirror, but keeps his arms going in that hocus-pocus fashion. It is so embarrassing to watch. Check that out. It's Harry Blackstone, 1987 Orange Bowl.
I will definitely.
You like Johnny Cash, Kevin?
Yeah.
Look up Redemption. It's a video of him just sitting there fucking on a stool in front of a bunch of, like, 25-year-olds singing this really cool song.
And my favorite powerful stuff.
Yeah, that's my favorite YouTube video, is Cash Singing Redemption.
I gotta check that out.
Did you guys see the two sharks attacking one surfer?
Yeah.
Oh.
No. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
imagine. I mean, it's like, don't get your hopes up. It's not like, oh, my God, you know, you got some kind of fucking amazing close-up. But they do have the helpful pointing of the arrows. Somebody draws arrows onto the screen, and you see a dude on a surfboard, and he's getting attacked by one shark, and at the same time, another shark's coming at him.
What Jesus are the odds? Christ.
What are the odds? Too good.
And he fucking lived. I mean, that's the thing about YouTube is, like, everybody lives.
Yeah.
Nobody dies. It's like watching a fucking G.I. Joe cartoon. Everybody lives. Just when you think, like, their life's in absolute peril, they parachute off at the last
minute. Yeah. All right. Cool, man. Hey, Kevin, thanks for calling. And we'll look forward to you popping in when Clerks 2 comes out on DVD.
Happen to a pair of nicer guys, and sometimes karma fucking works. And man, congratulations.
Well, thanks a lot.
And Kevin, about the film that I was going to be in for you, let me know when that might be happening because I have a very full schedule.
I will, as soon as I have
Shut
a script, sir, I will let you know.
Thanks.
What? Don't even entertain people's fantasies.
Jimmy's going to Cuba, though.
What's in Cuba?
Guantanamo Bay. I want all those rowdy prisoners. I can't wait to get in there and see fucking them in their little cages. I'm really looking forward to it.
Are you going out and do like a USO thing?
Yeah. I'm going with Jeff Ross and this guy Tony Woods.
Is that where you're going?
Guantanamo Bay.
All right, then I'm going to point out an area you may have.
At least you're safe there. It's not like they're sending you into fucking occupied Iraq.
I know. I may have to go there in January.
You went to Iraq, right?
They asked me to do that at one point because apparently we got a lot of like fans in the service.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would like to, boy, I'd like to do my part for my country, particularly for those fans. But, like, I don't want to wear... I don't want to be up there talking about Jason Mewes' balls wearing a Kevlar vest.
Yeah. And you know something? When you got a wife and a kid and stuff like that, it's a little different than Jimmy Norton going over there. What
is my fucking
lose?
Head any different than his
Who's
to be lopped off?
Who's going to care if it gets lopped off?
You know how many fucking prostitutes will be on food stamps if my head goes? That's an economical fucking... Believe me.
You'll make out like a bandit with pocket change.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Reagan theory. It's like the leak down.
Trickle down?
Well, it's clear
leak
stuff. It leaks
down
in.
Nice. Okay. All right, Kevin,
thanks
man.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks for the call, bro.
Enjoy, man.
Take care, buddy.
All right, Kevin.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Kevin Smith, everyone.